we're playing songs of thanks because I'm thankful. I'm thankful for a whole bunch of things. And I'm also thankful because right here, live in studio, we have Miss Claire. Why, hello, and welcome to the beautiful Jean Bosch Broadcast Studio. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you bet. We love to have guests, and we love to have guests in person. It's just so dreamy. I mean, Zoom is a great technological piece. Totally it is. But
It's so post-COVID to be somewhere in person.
Yeah, I know. So we're very, very happy to have you here in the studio. So tell us a little bit about who you are, Mademoiselle.
Okay. My name is Claire Lobes Davis, and I'm an islander. I've been on the island for, about 12 years now, and I'm an attorney. I manage my own environmental, wildlife, animal law practice on the island, and over the past year or so, I have started my own nonprofit.
That's kind of amazing. Being a nonprofit ourselves here at Voice of Vashon and starting a nonprofit is a very daunting task. So tell us a little bit about this nonprofit that you've started.
Absolutely. It's called Washington Wildlife First, and it really arose out of a lot of the work that I was doing practicing wildlife law with my own practice. And it's dedicated to reforming the way that Washington manages its fish and wildlife.
Excellent. So your practice, wildlife law, tell me a little bit more about that. What were some of the cases that you would work on?
Sure. Well, after I went to law school, which was my second career, I started out as a journalist, newspaper journalist. I started out in animal law. My first job was working at Best Friends Animal Society in Kanab, Utah, which is the largest companion animal sanctuary in the United States. And I got sidetracked a little bit from that just by the need to pay bills. So I came to Seattle and to Vashon first as a securities litigator for a big law firm. Not really what I ever dreamed of doing, but it was a good job that definitely kept the bills paid. But I was able, in the course of my work as a securities litigator, to start my own litigation department focused on animal and wildlife law. And then about 3.5 years ago now, I turned that into my own law firm focusing on animal and wildlife law. And one of the first cases that I developed when I had formed my own practice with Lane Powell Law Firm in Seattle was a lawsuit against the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife related to how they manage wolves, specifically related to their killing of wolves following wolf predations on cattle in public forest land. And that was really an eye-opener for me because I probably, like most people in Washington, I thought that Washington probably did a pretty good job with its wildlife until I did that case. And I learned just how dysfunctional and backwards and out of touch with Washington values the Department of Fish and Wildlife really is. Since then, I've filed, I think, about 12 lawsuits against the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife. But I've also become humbled by realizing the limits to what a lawyer can do and to what, you know, just filing lawsuits and doing other things through the legal system can achieve. And that's why I got together with several other committed advocates, about a year and a half ago, to start Washington Wildlife First, dedicated to advancing reform, you know, through advocacy and, you know, the political process and the advocacy, you know, system rather than just through the legal system.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I was looking at your mission and values and about us, and you're a small but mighty team, it looks like. You've got five people that are working on your organization?
Well, we only have two paid staff. I'm not one of them, although I'm pretty much a full-time volunteer in addition to managing my law practice. And our second paid staff member is actually pretty new, so We've been operating mostly with just one staff member and then with a fantastic board of directors that mm-hmm. puts in a ton of volunteer time. Mm,
that's amazing. So about a year and a half you've been around. And in that time, you've done 12 lawsuits?
The lawsuits I try to keep separate. That's for my law firm, mm-hmm. Animal and Earth Advocates, is the law firm that I run. It's kind of become a side gig now. but it is the primary money earning gig. But they nonprofit has not filed lawsuits at this point. It just works in the advocacy realm.
Got a hairball here. Excuse me. Thanks for that clarification. Appreciate that. So right now, you were talking about the wolves issue, and I was reading about the bear issue. So that sounds like it's been a big win for the organization. Is that correct?
It was a big win just recently. It's been a battle that we've been fighting really since before we technically existed, but to eliminate the spring bear hunt in Washington. Washington, until recently, was one of only 8 states in the country that allowed hunting of bears during the springtime. And, you know, the reason for that is, you know, the same reason why we don't allow hunting of most wildlife in the springtime, because that's a time when they're raising their young and recovering from winter, and it's a very, you know, delicate, sensitive time for wildlife species. But Washington had historically allowed spring bear hunting, even though with bears there are additional concerns. Bears have just, at that time, just emerged from hibernation. They're often on the brink of starvation and really desperately trying to find food. And many of the mother bears are nursing newborn cubs that are frequently orphaned during spring bear hunts and, you know, obviously cannot survive on their own or are just left out to starve or die of, you know, exposure or predation.
So, and I noted on your website as well that, you know, there's lots and lots of Washingtonians that don't hunt or really, you know, consider any of this. I'm not a hunter myself. And, but when I was reading about the recreational spring bear hunt and thinking about it, exactly that, like the vulnerability of the bears in the spring, not something that would, you know, cross my radar, you know. So how do you reach out to Washingtonians? How do you make this information, you know, make people like me aware of it?
It's difficult. And it's difficult, I think, primarily because the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife works so hard to keep people in the dark. For example, until 2 years ago, it didn't admit that the spring bear hunt was a recreational hunt. It was pretending that it was a hunt that was necessary for management reasons. And then a just remarkable advocate that we work with started questioning that and started saying, you know, is it really preventing timber damage? Is it really preventing conflict? Can you show me why these areas in the state are chosen for the spring bear hunt and show me the science saying that it prevents any of these conflicts? And the department came up empty. They couldn't provide the evidence to this advocate, and that really brought the issue to my attention, to our attention, because we weren't aware that there was essentially a recreational spring bear hunt that goes back decades. So the first obstacle is always learning about issues ourselves, because the department is not very transparent about them. And then the next obstacle is letting people know about them, because I think we don't think very much about how the state manages fish and wildlife, when really most of the responsibility of managing fish and wildlife isn't at the federal level, it's at the state level.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, living in the Puget Sound, we hear a lot about farm fishing, fisheries and that kind of stuff, and the damage that it can do to the, you know, wild fish. But again, I just think about this one particular issue about the bears, and you don't hear about that stuff. Like you really don't hear about that. So that sounds like an uphill battle to just have people more aware of that and advocate for that. And I think, you know, especially in Washington State, if people were really truly aware of something like that, they'd be all over that, right? So I think about all the work in Puget Sound, and yeah.
We think so too, and you know, it's hard always to demonstrate those things, and that's why one of the things that we've done over the past year that I'm most proud of is conducting a poll last month of Washingtonians to find out how much they care about fish and wildlife and what their values really are, because the department has been saying for a long time that it does represent Washington values, and We have believed that to be incorrect, but we, you know, released really a groundbreaking poll that demonstrated the degree to which that is incorrect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That there's really a huge gulf between department policies and how the department thinks about wildlife and how the Washington people think about wildlife.
And so how does that come together? How do you present that back to Washington Wildlife? How does that happen? So you've got this great poll, and you've got this listener information. So what's the next step there?
Well, you know, the first, you know, stage, I think, is using the poll in our advocacy. For mm-hmm. example, we learned in the poll that 80% of the Washington public opposed the spring bear hunt, and only 8% supported the hunt. And we learned, you know, the department often says, well, you know, hunters support the hunt because they really understand more about wildlife. And it turns out that 69% of people in hunting households oppose spring bear hunting. So that's not true either. So it's certainly very useful to have these numbers at our fingertips to use in our advocacy. But they do point out, as you do, our huge challenge in now reaching these people,
mm-hmm.
Because this isn't something that is top of mind for a lot of people. Another question that we asked that is really encouraging to me is, how much do you care about state fish and wildlife management? And 56% of Washington voters said they care a great deal. Another 35% care a moderate amount. That tells you what an enormous pool of people who would really get involved in advocating on these issues we have at our fingertips if we're able to access them better. And that's a challenge of our nonprofit. That's one reason that we need to grow and that we need more support so that we can start having better, you know, PR campaigns, better educational campaigns, mm-hmm. to let people know about what's happening with management of both fish and wildlife, because I think they would be outraged at many of the policies.
Yeah. I mean, again, I love speaking with people in our community that are doing amazing things for a number of different organizations. And I learn something every time I speak with somebody new. And then I can be an advocate and talk about that and, you know, use this platform to spread your message and advocate for your organization. So do you have an event coming up that will also help with this? And tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I hope that it will. And thanks for bringing that up. The event we have is called Conservation Conversation and Cocktails. It's a happy hour that we're holding at the Vachon Center for the Arts on Tuesday, December 6th, between 5 and 7 p.m. And you'll hopefully see posters about this around town. But it's really an attempt to do what we've been talking about, to reach people on Vachon with information about what's happening with management of fish and wildlife and how, you know, they can become more involved in advocating for something different. We have, as you are more aware than probably anybody, just a remarkable population of people here on Vachon, mm-hmm. who I think are much more inclined to get involved with this kind of thing than, you know, most people. So, you know, this is the first program like this that we've had, and we thought a perfect place to start would be on Vachon and what is hopefully going to be a first of a long series of kind of public town halls and happy hours like this, where we can educate people about what management is like currently, how it's gone wrong, and what they can do about it.
Mm-hmm. So talking about the endangered wolves and, yeah, the protecting cattle that are roaming unprotected in public forests and things like that. So, you know, when one piece of that ecosystem is, you know, eliminated or impacted, it impacts the entire ecosystem. And I think Washingtonians are well aware of that, and I think better than lots of states. So when you think about Washington in particular, do you reach across different states to see what their typical, how they handle wildlife?
We do, actually. I'm a member of the advisory board of an organization called Wildlife for All, which is a national organization that is directing attention to the need to reform state wildlife agencies, because the Washington agency is not alone. Mm-hmm. Like most agencies in the country, it's kind of 100 years behind the times. It's still based on a model that is that caters to what hunters and anglers want and ignores the rest of the population. And that's true in Washington, even though, you know, less than 3% of the population now hunts. Our wildlife policy is still set to please hunters. And that's just kind of nuts in Washington. So we do keep an eye on what happens nationwide and on the trends. And I agree with you that in Washington, people do know more than I would say people in a lot of other states about the ecosystem importance of apex predators and of, you know, beavers and of, you know, forage fish and prey species. What they don't know, I think, what I didn't know until about 4 or 5 years ago, is how badly Washington is mismanaging those things. And that's really, I think, our biggest educational hurdle, is to tell people about, you know, how regressive the wolf policy is, to let people know, for example, that we're still allowing trappers to kill beavers for their fur, even though for a long time we've understood how essential beavers are to combating the effects of climate change and allowing other species to survive. We continue to hunt and have management actions to kill more than 300 cougars on average a year, even as their population is probably below 2,000, maybe even below 1,500 because of increases over the past couple of years. It's really remarkably backward. And because the state, along with the rest of the world, is facing an enormous biodiversity crisis, if we don't get involved and reverse this soon, we're going to have consequences that we can't come back from.
Yeah, I'm shaking my head, which is not a good thing to do on radio because nobody can, you know, see that. But so my brother's up in BC. I'm Canadian, and he's a hunter, and he is an ethical hunter. I know that you have to pay for tags. Again, I don't know a whole lot about hunting, but you have to pay for a tag, right? So when you think about that, the spring bear hunt as an example, which is now a moot point, thankfully, but is that a money grab for Washington State? Like they sell, I'm assuming they would sell a tag for a bear, or is that how it works here?
It's based on really a outdated and incorrect perception of how the agency is funded. There's a perception that is really prevalent for anyone that thinks about it, which is probably not most Washingtonians, that hunters and anglers pay for conservation and pay for the Department of Fish and Wildlife. And we did an analysis recently that revealed that only 8% of the Department of Fish and Wildlife budget is paid for by hunters, which is dramatically lower than the department has claimed and that big hunting groups normally claim. So their funding isn't through hunting licenses and tags. Their funding is from the rest of us. It's through general fund dollars. It's through property taxes. And, you know, that for that reason, as well as, you know, for the reason that they represent all of us and are supposed to hold fish and wildlife in trust for all of us, really means they need to divert their attention from just serving hunters and anglers to serving the interests of all Washingtonians. But what I wanted to pick up on something else you said, because it's often said that we're an anti-hunting organization, and that's absolutely not true. I don't hunt myself, but our executive director hunts and her family hunts, and we are not anti-hunting. We are for responsible and ethical hunting, and we think that the definition of that has to evolve as our understanding of wildlife and our impact on, you know, ecosystems and biodiversity evolves.
Yeah, absolutely. And I, forgive me, I don't read this as an anti-hunting organization at all. It's about conservation and ethical hunting for sure. How can people get involved?
Well, I would encourage anybody who can to please join us on Tuesday, December 6th at the Arts Center between 5 and 7 p.m. We're hoping for a good turnout there to be able to talk to people individually about how they can become involved personally. They can go to our website, which is wawildlifefirst.org. That's wawildlifefirst.org, and sign up for action alerts and other information about issues that we're exploring. And they can, you know, email me personally, and I would be happy to talk to anyone on the island who's interested in getting more involved in this issue. And my email is cldavis@wawildlifefirst.org. But you can also find that on our website.
Excellent. That's amazing organization, and I'm truly thankful for what you're doing. We need more organizations like this raising these issues so that people know. And I think really and truly, once people know and understand, that is the catalyst for change. People will stand up and do the right thing and support. So anything else that we haven't touched upon that you would like to make sure that our little Vashon community is aware of?
Well, I think just, you know, the pitch for people to come to our event, and for anybody who feels passionate about this subject to become involved and hopefully become a supporter of ours. As you noted, nonprofits are tough, and one of the toughest things is to get used to asking people for money.
Yeah.
But all of what we do, of course, is based on supportive donors, like just like Voice of Vashon. So we really want to meet new people who are potential supporters, advocates, donors who are interested in becoming involved. And I think that the happy hour would be a great place to do it. I should also say we've set up a website just about the happy hour, which is wawildonvashon.org. So that's wawildonvashon.org, where it would be great if people can let us know that they plan to come, mm-hmm. because we're trying to right. manage the cocktails and the food, and we would love just to hear from anybody on Vashon who's interested in becoming more involved, whether or not they can come out on Tuesday, December 6th.
That's lovely. That's really lovely. And what a beautiful spot to connect with people, like Kay Whitehall. Love it. Well, thank you so, so very much for coming in today. We really appreciate that. We will put this up on our website under our PSA icon there. And, you know, if you can, and if you can't, perhaps you can just send a little of your love and cash over to the wildlife organization here. That's WashingtonWildlifeFirst.org, WAWildlifeFirst.org. Send them a little money. You know how nonprofits work. We all are very, very thankful when you're thinking about us. So send a little money this way for a really fantastic organization that is truly important for the overall ecosystem here on Washington State. Thank you so much, Claire. We can't thank you enough for being here.
Thank you so much, Kate. And it is such a privilege to have a little radio station, a hometown radio station like this, where we can do this sort of interview. So, you know, I certainly would urge everyone to support you as well, because that's a remarkable resource.
Oh, I'm going to put you on the list for Give Big next year.
Absolutely.
We do, yeah, two days of asking people for money, because every nonprofit on the island, and there are many of us, of course, do such great work. We like to amplify people's messages. So I'll definitely make sure that you're on the list for all that information as well.
Absolutely.
Great. Hey, is there any song that you'd like to be played out on? Let's see. I can whip something up. Any favorite song that you have? How about something about, let's see. Sometimes when I just type random things in, I get really cool things, but then sometimes I really don't. So I just typed
unexpected
in.
Unexpected question. I'm trying
I know,
to think
right?
of something wildlife related.
I just typed in bear. And
are there bear songs? That would be a fantastic one, because we are, you know, we're celebrating that big victory last week with the Fish and Wildlife Commission finally voting against the recreational spring bear hunt for good. So
yes. So let's